Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 728. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, another week of wrestling in the books. I have really rarely been watching SmackDown Live these days. It's one of those ones where it gets recorded. I jump into AEW Rampage Live because the wife has gone to bed. So I always save SmackDown for some later time. And I actually usually get to it these days because it's still pretty enjoyable. And one of the big hangovers from Raw last week was whether whether Ronda Rousey would choose Becky Lynch or Charlotte Flair. Now, I guess honestly, if you had believed reports that have been out for what, like a month now, you would have seen this coming, but Ronda Rousey officially chose Charlotte Flair on TV on this past SmackDown. Was there any surprise to this choice that it would be Charlotte rather than Becky?
I feel like that it had been reported that it would be Charlotte for a little while, and it did make some sense. Think about how the where SmackDown is at right now, and the lack of star power on the show. This is this could be definitely be something of a Fox call. I was not surprised. It's be interested to see how they get there. You know, if they're able to keep Ronda a babyface.
Oh.
There really shouldn't be any problem keeping Charlotte the heel, which is what could make this complicated. If Ronda just doesn't connect with the audience, but she did connect with the audience for the most part until she ran into the juggernaut known as Becky Lynch. I don't foresee that happening this time.
Oh.
Also interesting that Charlotte Flair when they did the fake out, acting like that Ronda wasn't coming. Charlotte mentioned Sasha Banks by name, so Sasha is still in the mix here. Whether they'll end up doing that match at Elimination Chamber, or if Sasha will end up being added to this match, which, I mean, they're already bringing Ronda back to increase the star power heading into WrestleMania, but they're worried that this Ronda Charlotte match won't go off well, so they would add someone else to the match. But it would be definitely a weird thing. Then why bring Ronda back then?
I guess I feel like Ronda's done a good enough job in her singles matches that there's no reason to doubt her having a good match with Charlotte. I feel like Charlotte kind of seemed off there for a while after she had come back, but I don't feel like her matches have been quite as bad recently. Like, I don't remember anything of hers going a little bit sideways, and maybe my memory's just playing tricks on me, or I haven't been paying attention. But I feel like Charlotte's kind of straightened out her wrestling problems there that she seemed to have. And I guess I kind of understand it from the perspective of Sasha Banks does not have a lot to do if she's not in that championship match. Bayley would really need to be back sooner rather than later if she had another opponent her caliber to go against. Because that, I guess that is the other thing with Rhonda choosing Charlotte, is I feel like Becky Lynch, at least with Bianca Belair over there, she has someone else to go against that I don't think Charlotte has on SmackDown currently.
Yes. No, not really. No, the option would be to go with the Sasha Banks match, which has happened a million times in the last 6 or 7 years.
Oh, right.
No real new ground there. They certainly have no one else ready. Becky does have Bianca Belair, and I would imagine Bianca is by far the favorite to win the Women's Elimination Chamber match. But there is that lingering mystery opponent in said match.
Oh.
And they're not seemingly, they did not reveal that person on Raw Monday. There's only one Raw left. If it's a big enough surprise, will that person get the nod instead? I hope not. I really, really hope that they just give it to Bianca. They need to complete this story.
They definitely do. I was a little bit concerned last week, at least, when Ronda Rousey was still hanging it out there that she might challenge Becky, that Bianca would probably be paying the biggest price. Because they really, you know, it's another one of those situations where they haven't completely pulled the trigger on someone else since Becky
Right.
Lynch. You know, and it definitely doesn't seem like, and I know it's not much of a Raw spoiler, but I don't know it was on Raw. You know, Doudrop ends up taking the win over Liv Morgan. I don't think we're gonna see Liv Morgan in the main title chase in the near future. Maybe Doudrop, I guess. But yeah, I mean, she just went against Becky Lynch, so you can't really go back to that one again. Yeah, so Bianca makes the most sense for Becky, and it should be. Yeah. Rhonda and Charlotte just made more sense right now than even though Becky was the one that won the match and really kind of got more of the notoriety out of that that three-way match at WrestleMania than anyone else. So yeah, that was the big at least official reveal there on SmackDown. The other big storyline, of course, always involves Roman Reigns, and Paul Heyman is back at his side, serving as special counsel, is it? Is that the right term?
Yes.
What'd you think of Paul's latest promo here?
Wow, did I find it just absolutely long-winded as hell. I mean, he went so long. He had to leave things out. Explaining the through everything that had happened up until the Royal Rumble, and then he doesn't really explain the rest of it. It was just it just he just rambled on too long for me. I honestly I don't care anymore, really. Roman Reigns can talk for himself. Brock Lesnar can talk for himself. I don't think Paul Heyman's necessary anymore.
Yeah, it kind of the turn does put him in a weird position, you know, where, like you said, like he's kind of useless at this point. He's kind of played both sides. We've had the big moments for, you know, for each side. Whether it's Paul going back to Brock or, you know, Roman Reigns getting rid of Paul. Like, there's been so many big moments with him. There's nothing else to do with him in that story. Like, it's just about Brock and Roman at that point.
Yeah, it definitely is, and it should be. Yeah, not a lot left for Paul to do. Maybe letting Brock do so much talking for himself will end up being one of the biggest political mistakes Paul Heyman has ever made. Who knows? Because there's just nothing left for him.
Yeah, it's a weird spot to be in. Once Reigns gets beyond this, there might be a spot for Paul to do the talking. But this is going to be one of those times where I would definitely think it. Well, yeah, since Brock has the shot at WrestleMania. That match doesn't happen until WrestleMania. Like, I mean, we're running the clock till then, and that's a lot of time to have Paul Heyman on the sidelines. Even when it's, I guess it makes even more sense when he does just one of his disappearing acts, so that he can come back and people will kind of pop for it. This is a different kind of sidelines that he's going to be treated to. Anything else? Oh man, I'm looking at this tag team match on SmackDown, and Ricochet and
Well,
Cesaro.
there is the next biggest thing to talk about on SmackDown, and it relates to Roman Reigns.
Oh.
Roman Reigns' next challenger revealed for Elimination
Oh,
Chamber, and
yeah, I
it
forgot
is
about
Goldberg.
that. Oh, I forgot about it. Even though I just watched it. I forgot that Billy came back. I feel like I saw some sentiment about that on Twitter when I hopped on during Rampage. After watching SmackDown later, I'm like, oh, I get it. Saudi Arabia loves Bill Goldberg.
They do? Yeah, Saudi Arabia loves Bill Goldberg, and they've been wanting to do this match for about 2 years now, and they're finally getting to do it. You know what? There's no way Roman Reigns is losing the Universal Championship before WrestleMania, so you might as well. You might as well do it in Saudi Arabia. Get the match done. Don't waste anyone of note who could be a challenger for later.
Brock's not going to cost him so that it becomes a three-way match at WrestleMania.
I guess anything's possible, but I don't think so. I don't think that's where they're gonna go with all this. I think that this is too for Roman Reigns to put down another legend. It's fine,
Oh, yeah.
but they'll put on a spirited, 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, I kind of forgotten that they have never gotten around to this match.
Yeah, no, they were supposed to get to it. They were supposed to
Because
get to
this
it.
was the WrestleMania match that got canceled, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it is what it is. Like, Roman Reigns does need someone to fill the gap between then and now, and Bill Goldberg fits that perfectly. And yeah, he gets his one match and a couple of appearances, and he takes home a whole lot of money.
Yes, he does.
So, good for him. Good on Bill. But yeah, there were. So I guess he's there. And I am looking through the rest of this stuff, and it is not easy. Ricochet and Cesaro end up fighting Ridge Holland and Sheamus. I guess there's a possibility that we end up with a good tag division made of all singles people that have failed as singles people.
That's one of the ways it can happen. Certainly possible. Although this tag match has certainly played its course.
Any type of Cesaro versus Sheamus match, I was there for it for a long time, but I think I'm just burnt out at this juncture.
Yeah, I'm definitely burned out on all of these guys, yes.
Yeah,
Particularly those two, yes.
poor Ridge Holland, already burnt out on him, and he's only been on the roster for like a couple of months. Because, yeah, Eric and Jimmy Uso also tag stuff. And, the other kind of tag-related news, it looks like Big E and Kofi Kingston are a tag team. And they took down Los Lotharios this week. So it definitely
Well, at
seems
least they
like...
gave him that much. Poor Big E. He did nothing wrong to deserve this. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, there is nothing to like about this one. I wasn't surprised that it was one of those things. It was just like WWE locker room not happy with what's happening to Big E, and I'm like, no shit. I don't know if it's true,
No.
but I would not be surprised if it's true. Like
No.
he really got out there and helped promote for the WWE and foof back in a tag team again. Don't quite understand
No, not at all.
it. 'Cause I guess speaking of big guys, we did get it looks like we're gonna get some Drew McIntyre versus Baron Corbin action here for WrestleMania, possibly, or at least for a
Yeah,
limited.
it's looking like that's gonna be the WrestleMania match for old Drew because that match at day one wasn't enough. We're gonna get more Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss singles action at Elimination Chamber. Yippee!
Yeah, I mean, I feel worse for Big E, but this whole Drew thing has not been a smooth transition recently.
No, it has not. The injury did not help. Being on SmackDown, but not really having them holding off on the Roman Reigns match, if it's ever actually gonna be a thing, because who knows if Brock Lesnar ends up champion after WrestleMania. But holding off on that, not having a strong mid card at all. Drew hasn't really had much to work with, and now even after Elimination Chamber, this feud is going to have to fill 6 more weeks of TV.
Oh my God.
That's just awful. And I wasn't going to interrupt your opening, but you saying that, well, SmackDown's still an unenjoyable show, like. Maybe
No.
after, maybe but maybe the first segment and the last segment at most weeks, but the
Hey.
middle of that shit, no. It's just got awful unless Sami Zayn is on screen, basically. I mean, some of the women's stuff, I guess.
Oh, yeah, 'cause I didn't even jump to that other one. I've scrolled past it a couple of times, but I was holding off on it. Sami Zayn is quite enjoyable, and
Oh, yes. Did you follow his adventures at the Jackass Forever movie premiere?
I did not.
Basically shooting. Oh, go to Sami Zayn's Twitter and find the thread where he tells his side of the story about trying to interrupt, about being accosted on the red carpet and dragged away by security.
Outstanding.
So yeah, they've got the Sami Zayn Nakamura match on the week after this coming Friday. Once again, I believe the show's it's not about Sci-Fi. It's still Fox. That's right. The night before Elimination Chamber, there is when the Sami Zayn Shinsuke Nakamura match will take place. They've already said that Johnny Knoxville has been invited to attend, so we are definitely continuing the Sami Zayn Johnny Knoxville feud. And I imagine at this point that will be a one-on-one match at WrestleMania, and I say bring it on.
I don't want to compare this. Like, this is going to be kind of bad, but I'm going to roll with it anyway. Madcap Moss and Baron Corbin are trying. You know, they're kind of running with a garbage gimmick. But Sami Zayn has done a really great job of turning into the conspiracy theory guy. And just kind of keeping that angle going, even with, you know, his interactions here with the guys from Jackass. And it's really been quite brilliant on Sami Zayn's part.
It really has. He has somewhat late in his career. He's like a year younger than me, but he's been doing this since he got out of high school and, you know, took all those bumps on those hard floors at the rec centers and the high school gyms. He's cashing in, you know, with his last active years, and has figured out the R-Truth principle. If you can make Vince laugh, he'll keep you around forever.
Yeah, be entertaining, and you can stay here until you're in your mid-50s and you still have abs. God bless R-Truth, as always, when he comes up. The man has abs in his 50s. God bless. But yeah, Sami Zayn, he really has turned into quite an entertaining character. And that's another one where, like, I feel like everyone brought up the Kevin Owens contract situation. I don't feel like it was ever, maybe Sammy just has a longer running contract, but I guess I just don't feel like anyone's mentioned whether his contract is up or not.
No, he's re-signed.
Oh, okay, he did re-sign. Okay, I did not realize that. But that, yeah. I'm not surprised. Like, he's in such a good spot. Like, why would you leave that?
No. Yeah, he's in a great spot. He gets featured. Does it matter even if he how much he wins and loses, or if he ever holds a title again, really, at this point?
Oh.
I don't think he cares. I think he's having a good time.
Yeah.
And then he gets to spend the rest of his time, his free time, working on his philanthropic work in Syria and elsewhere. So I think he's doing very well.
Yeah, very very smart man, and doing things well. Yeah, so I do think that does that for SmackDown. You're right, it's kind of garbagey currently. I've got to admit, I tuned into Raw a little bit late, but the Quiz Bowl was still going on. And, the wife sat there and watched that with me, and there may have been some looks exchanged when that segment was on air. They were not good looks. What did you think about the old quiz bowl or whatever they called it exactly?
I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was very entertaining. Chad Gable has got 2,000 Kurt Angle down, like to a T. He is 2,000 Kurt Angle.
Yes, he is. He leans a little more
Nice.
on the smart part than Angle did, but it's the same exact playbook.
So no. So just again, they did as well as you could expect with a segment like that. The kind of fit very well. Played about the same way as the spelling bee with them getting it wrong at the end, and you'll be
Oh.
surprised by how smart Riddle actually is. And then Orton went for the cheap pop in Denver with the John Elway answer.
Oh
No,
man. I guess I did forget. I had a hoot because it was John Elway, Peyton Manning. Who was the, because Jay Cutler was the one quarterback, and I was in tears because I'm like, oh my God, there's no way this is Jay Cutler. Why is he even on this list? Because the third person that I'm having a hard time, the other person that wasn't Peyton or John, I mean, John Elway was the obvious answer, but the other person, I'm like, they at least started there for enough years. Maybe, oh, I think it was Jake Plummer. And I'm like, hey, you know what? He started there for like 6 years. He's got to have a decent chunk of wins. I don't know how I could forget Jake Plummer. God damn. Bad Kevin. But yeah, that Randy Orton getting the cheap pop for that one was kind of funny. And I do, what's his name? Is kind of doing is doing great work right now. What's Kevin, the announcer? Is it Kevin Kirkpatrick?
Kevin, Kevin, not O'Brien, Kevin something, Kevin, I
Kevin
don't know his
Patrick.
last name. Kevin Patrick, yes.
Okay. I had to look for it in the review that I have popped up here. I do like the work that Kevin Patrick is doing currently in general, and I think that he really kind of helped sell this segment too. So I want to give some
Yeah, he
props
did
to
a good job.
him just because he was a very good facilitator during that segment, which is you know what the host needs to do. Yeah, it was WWE hokey, I guess. It was enjoyable for what it was. It of course furthered the storyline. The whole thing hinged, like, I would hope that they would have a match between these two teams. Because why would we be going through multiple weeks of this series if it didn't come to a match between the two?
Yeah, it's a weird deal with Riddle and with Riddle in the Elimination Chamber. So, and that next week they're doing another
Oh.
comedy segment with the RK Party, and
Oh.
then I guess maybe the week after they'll do the tag title match, or they'll hold it off until WrestleMania maybe. Lot of weirdness right now. I'm not even sure if Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens are totally, or either of them are totally babyface or totally heel at this point. They
Oh.
got inserted into the RK-Bro orbit as well. Oh my God, Kevin Owens. Let's talk about his Texas guy promo. That was great.
Yeah, Kevin Owens is another gem that again, not surprised that the WWE re-signed him. They did not
They
get
have to
rid
be,
of
WrestleMania.
all
They
of
love
their
Texas.
entertaining people. And goddamn, Kevin Owens just murdering the game with that promo. Oh man, that really cracked me up. Because I'm trying to think of was that really because it wasn't much of a segment, was it?
Which one? It wasn't much of a segment. The Owens promo?
Yeah.
No, because it followed Kevin Owens beating Austin Theory, asking to be put into the Elimination Chamber, and then being rejected. And then that's when Owens was like, I gotta be at WrestleMania. I love Texas.
Oh.
Then he did an
Yeah.
online-only promo of about how he's gonna move his fam he wants to move his family to Texas. He loves Texas football.
Oh
High school, college, professional. Doesn't know the name of any of the teams, but he loves some Texas football.
Oh, the fact that the guy doesn't even like hockey and he's Canadian just makes me warms my heart even more that he's professing his love for Texas football.
Yes.
Oh man, what a smart ass that guy is. Oh, I didn't see the Twitter portion of that. That's pretty funny though. That is pretty funny. Yeah, it is not surprising that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are sticking around. You know,
Yeah.
Kevin Owens is another one where he's I mean, I think that they've always given him better stuff to work with than some of the other people that have had but bad hands dealt to them. But Kevin Owens does seem to make any situation work for him. And
That he does.
yeah, it seemed like we were headed towards a Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins team. It definitely,
And we're still there.
yeah, it got derailed there with the single stuff for a second, but it looks like it's back on, especially since they did beat RK-Bro this week.
Yeah, they did beat RK-Bro, so that is out there. If RK-Bro regains their tag team championships, to have that match at WrestleMania, that match at WrestleMania, if need be. But both Rollins and Owens have been so entertaining. It's getting harder to keep them both heels, I guess. I didn't really see any official results or lineups, but I read on Twitter that Owens and Rollins were in the roles of baby faces on the house shows this past weekend. So I'm not sure exactly what to categorize them as at this point.
Entertaining. I think that's a
Yes.
good place to put that. Because, yeah, the Seth Rollins character has really just gotten. I mean, he's kind of gone full cult leader, kind of, with his presentation and everything. And it's been a lot of fun. Like, this is the best promoing that Seth Rollins has done in his career, I think.
Yes, definitely.
Like, yeah, he's never had a problem talking, but this has just really kind of kicked it up to another level, and God bless him for doing that work and keeping us entertained. So yeah, like you said, it's the WWE has that problem where the heel just ends up being too cool at some point and everyone latches onto them. And Kevin Owens really, he was a baby face, but even his heel turn with Big E was kind of entertaining and you understood what was going on. So he's kind of another easy guy to flip roles pretty easily. They're both chameleons, man. So, good on them for being that useful. Well, we talked about her a little bit earlier. Becky Lynch, stretching out this whole Lita feud here.
Well, it's only it's its second week, so I don't know if stretching out is the best word for it, but
Yeah, true.
once again, Saudi Arabia, Elimination Chamber. Becky's not losing that title before WrestleMania, so it's as good as anything else.
Yeah, and what little we saw from Lita there, she looks pretty sharp still these
Yeah,
days.
definitely. Yeah.
So good for her. Let's hope we get a good match out of that one. Holy smokes, did RK-Bro really chew up that much of Raw?
I believe they did, yes.
Wow, yeah, that really chewed up a lot of Raw. 'Cause we got the MVP stuff with him and Bobby Lashley. The Alexa Bliss stuff is just it is just moving so slow. I
It
don't.
is, and the guy playing the therapist just has no stage command at all. He's got no presence. He's just there. But if you notice, she is dressing more and more like the old Alexa Bliss. Everyone, she's less
Oh.
dark colors, skirt. Yeah, so I think they're accomplishing something with these, but yes, it's taking a long time. I was shocked that she wasn't actually in the Royal Rumble. It's like,
Oh.
then why did they bring her back when they did?
I have not noticed the wardrobe changes for her moving forward, as things have moved along. I guess I did not realize she's not wearing as much dark stuff. Yeah. That's going to be a long time to have therapy segments if they're going at this rate to when
Yeah.
she's completely cured. Damian Priest, still a weird situation.
Yeah, still very weird. Yeah, very weird. Again, AJ Styles is in the Elimination Chamber, but he's now mixing up with the United States Champion. Did they announce the title match for Raw this coming Monday?
Oh, I
They
don't
did, didn't
remember.
they? You know, because after AJ won the championship contenders match, they just
Oh.
already beaten the champion.
Yeah, I guess I'm not surprised that that's happening. But I did not see that it was announced. So yeah, there's yeah, AJ is, well, he's another one that's just kind of been in a weird spot. Like, he just keeps on floating from feud to feud without having. He's chewing up some scenery, but he's not really doing a whole lot of anything either since the
No,
Omos
he's
thing happened.
not.
It looks like maybe The Miz has moved on from Edge? Question mark?
I believe he has. That's just what does Edge have to move on to? Right now, it doesn't look like much of anything. So, No, Miz is mixing it up with the Mysterio family as we speak. So that's something for them all to do.
Yeah, it could be a fine undercard feud for WrestleMania, I would assume. Maybe it'll just last till Elimination Chamber. But I feel like their names are big enough to warrant a singles match or some type of a tag match, possibly if the Miz gets someone else involved, so that the Mysterios can team together. Anything else in the WWE planet worth talking about? 'Cause Bianca Belair, Nikki Ash was the only other match on Raw that we have not really talked about. Yeah.
No, nothing to talk about there, or the Liv Morgan Doudrop match either. Really nothing. Yeah, we can go to Rampage, I guess.
Yeah. And I mentioned it before the show, not really a whole lot interest to me in the beginning of Rampage there. Adam Cole versus Evil Uno was what it should have been. Sometimes I feel like AEW has a habit of dragging out these squash matches. I was glad to
Well,
see that it was an actual squash match.
no. There's no need to drag this out. Evil Uno is what he is on the roster. It's the yet again being used in the role of setting up of taking of getting beat up and losing to set up of a match for Hangman Adam Page. As Adam Cole has made it very clear that he's going for the AEW title next after the Paige Archer match that's taking place on Dynamite.
No.
I imagine at this point it's Cole versus Hangman at Revolution.
That would make a great deal of sense if that's what ends up happening.
It definitely makes some sense. You could play off of. Well, they both have history in the Bullet Club together, even if it was just briefly.
Oh.
You could have the Young Bucks, maybe kind of playing both sides or, not. And, do other things like with that. So, it's a potentially damn great match, too. So, no. Yeah. They've kept at Cole officially undefeated. In singles competition, so yeah, no, it's a strong main event for the next AEW pay-per-view.
Yeah, agreed. Sammy Guevara versus Isaiah Cassidy for the TNT Championship. Just getting Sammy some wins on Championship Reign 2.0 here. Not much
Yeah,
more to say about that one.
and not much more. Well, I mean, this match was very did end up getting very busy with Andrade getting involved, and then Darby Allin getting involved.
Oh.
This whole weird thing with Andrade and Darby Allin, where I don't know why Andrade would think that Darby Allin would want to join them. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Is
Of all,
confusing
why
at
of all people
best.
he's recruiting Darby Allin? It just doesn't make sense to me at all. So yeah, this ended up getting busy, but once again, but in the end, a win for Sammy Guevara.
And I was I guess I was pretty interested in the Thunder Rosa versus Mercedes Martinez match was one at least on paper that I saw was going to happen and I was very interested in. They left a lot of meat on the bone though because I think they might have a full feud at some point.
Yeah, but it was definitely also revealed that it was Dr. Britt Baker who
Yeah.
paid off Mercedes Martinez to attack Thunder Rosa and cost her the TNT excuse me, the TBS title tournament. So we are reintroducing Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa into each other's world.
Yep.
But, although it doesn't necessarily make sense. If I'm Britt Baker, I'd want Thunder Rosa to become TBS champion and be distracted with those title defenses to not come after me. But I guess that's why I'm not a doctor. And I would imagine that you can possibly pencil in Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa finally for the AEW Women's Championship at Revolution.
Yeah, that one is
a long way to get there.
They have taken a long time with this whole setup, and it's been another interesting one where you did have the lights out match that doesn't count, but everyone talks about the matches that don't count. So they still kind of count since they get talked about anyway. But yeah, they have taken the long route to getting this match done, and I look forward to it. Whenever it ends up going down. Then the last match, Ricky Starks versus Jay Lethal. Thought it was a good match. The ending sequence.
It did end up being a good match. Any feelings about Jay Lethal aside, it was certainly a good match. It's again a good win for Ricky Starks, who's definitely a star in the making for AEW. Hopefully they'll really pull the trigger on that one soon.
He needs. I have liked the fact that they've made the FTW championship somewhat viable now. They introduced it, and it didn't go anywhere. Like, I think it's.
Like, this was Brian Cage.
Well, That was part of the problem. But I always think that the whole concept to me is silly. That it's just like, oh, it's outside of the Federation, but you keep on fighting on the same Federation's programming, so you're with that Federation, dude. Like, you'd need to defend it a bunch of different places if you didn't care who you worked for. So that part always breaks my brain. But I guess I would rather have them have it on TV.
Yeah.
And make it somewhat valuable.
It's a made-up title. It's Taz's title from ECW, and I believe it was the storyline was that Shane Douglas was ECW champion, but he was ducking him, so Taz made him his own world title.
I believe that is the case.
Possession of the belt. Yeah, and apparently Taz kept possession of that belt for over 20 years. It's an unofficial title. I'm not sure if they lose it, AEW has any authority to actually make them give it up. But thus far, that has not come up yet.
I did love the finishing sequence of this match. The counter into Stark's finisher was some really, really nice stuff too. That is something too that really like that. I mean, we kind of talk about it where sometimes you almost get desensitized to the quality of the wrestling. Something like that stands out even when you're getting a bunch of high quality, and that was pretty impressive that it stood out that much. Anything else in the world of wrestling, news-wise, worth bringing up?
Well, there is a... Well, there apparently is a major free agent signing, as well as a Forbidden Door opening, who are the exact same person showing up on Dynamite this week.
Yes.
And obviously, at the time of recording this, Dynamite is still tomorrow, so by the time maybe people end up listening to this, they'll already know, but... I don't know.
I was going to ask if there is any speculation out there about who it might be.
Well, the speculation is just about anyone, is, you know, Keith Lee or anyone who's been released from WWE recently. But that doesn't really fit the Forbidden Door definition, although people are questioning whether or not Tony Khan really even knows what that even means anymore. It's a free agent. So you can't be a free agent signing and someone walking through the Forbidden Door.
Oh, correct. Yeah. That is an either-or situation. It's not a both situation.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of people have had their Day 91 stuff up, I feel like, here recently.
Yes, they have.
Because didn't what's-his-name, Oney Lorcan, go back and star for, was it a GCW show, maybe?
I don't know. I think, was that promotion out of Chicago,
MLW?
I don't think it was MLW. I don't know. But yeah. His 90 days must already have been up since he is wrestling elsewhere. But yeah, a number of people's, you know, 90-day clauses came up in the last week or so. So I think there might be another round coming. I don't remember exactly the dates, but yeah, I don't know. AEW has gotten some buzz going and some speculation about who could possibly be showing up tomorrow on Dynamite. I believe that person is going to be in a match with a spot in a big ladder match, I think, taking place at Revolution.
The Face of the Revolution.
Face of the Revolution. They did it last year, yes.
Yeah. I forgot that was involved for them. But I did end up seeing that sometime when I was on the interwebs there. I guess I'm kind of surprised. I feel like with less than 24 hours to go, news starts to leak 9 times out of 10. Even when people try to suppress it. So I'm a little bit surprised that we don't have any real concrete suggestions. But there are a lot of people out there that it could be.
There definitely are.
Yeah, and I guess it'll be interesting just to see how things go moving forward. Just because, I mean, Tony Khan's mentioned that he's just gonna not renew people's contracts if he doesn't like them, rather than getting rid of their deal necessarily. It'll be interesting to see which contracts get flipped and who... Yeah, I guess at this point I think it's interesting because people like Malachi Black have come in and, yeah, they got to take on Cody Rhodes, or he got to take on Cody Rhodes and have a big high-profile match. And they've done a good job of keeping him in the eye of the TV viewer, but he also hasn't really done a whole lot of anything since then, you know, like, of consequence.
Yeah.
Like, he's not moving towards a main event, he's not moving towards any type of... I mean, him and Brody King might be moving towards a tag team championship at some juncture in the future, but at least for the time being, he's, you know, he's not any better off in some ways than he was in the WWE as far as the singles run goes. Like, he had one big feud and he's kind of lost in the shuffle again. So it'll be interesting to see whoever this person is that comes through. There's still a lot of landmines to get to the top of AEW.
There definitely are.
So it'll be interesting to see to see what happens and how things fit together going forward with whoever this is. Because I guess I wouldn't. It feels like Adam Scheer is off the list of being signed somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I guess, I'd be kind of surprised if it's Wyndham Rotunda / Bray Wyatt.
I don't think it would be someone like him. I don't think it would be someone like Adam Scheer. No. And then Killer Cross has apparently joined in with the EC3 and Adam Scheer with their Control Your Narrative, whatever the heck this mumbo jumbo cultish crap is that they're doing. I have no idea. I try not to pay too much attention to that. Because it's all very, you know, far right wing, symbolism, things like that. I don't really go for.
Yeah, I'm not sure how far, because I haven't paid that much attention to EC3's narrative on ROH. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I haven't really given it that much mind. But yeah, when you're joining in with Adam Scheer, you've always got to kind of scratch your head a little bit.
He's a guy who, Scheer is definitely a guy who needed the WWE system. I don't know if he'll be successful anywhere else.
Which is probably why he's staying out of the whole thing and doing whatever he's doing. Because doesn't he have a mental health app that he's got going on, too, that he seems pretty invested in?
He's definitely going to be one of these people who's not going to be at least making his full-time living in the wrestling business going forward.
Yeah.
He'll take dates wherever someone will pay. We'll pay him thousands of dollars to show up. But other than that, I don't know if I necessarily see him signing on with a major promotion anytime in the near future, possibly ever.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. Like, I guess if you go like you're talking about Forbidden Door wise, I would think that only people from New Japan would kind of be on that list, correct? And I guess I don't know who you bring over from there currently. I haven't watched that product in a couple of years at this point. And, you know, maybe Tony Khan has his eye on someone that he really wants to bring over. But I don't know if it's going to register with me one way or the other. Like, they could end up being very good wrestlers and I'll enjoy their work, but it's not something that I'm going to get hyped about right away, I don't think.
Yeah, and whoever this is supposedly is signing a full-time contract, which once again is not the Forbidden Door, but we shall see what happens.
Okie doke, grandkids. I think that can wrap up the wrestling portion of this this here show. Bell Time Beer is one that I got from my younger brother. One of his favorite places in Pittsburgh is the Dancing Gnome. Their Spirograph IPA is pretty daggone tasty, especially since it's just kind of a regular West Coast IPA. 8% alcohol. Citrus, Centennial, Chinook, Simcoe, and Columbus hops. They're all very common hops, and they taste good together. I will leave it at that. So that is your hashtag Belltime Beer of this here very show. I am at DeFrango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any fine purveyors of podcasts, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.